Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1, we'll read the scripture here. You pray that the Lord will bless and just use me to speak those things that He has for us today. We all might hear the Lord, we might hear Him and believe Him, trust Him in what He says, and we might be encouraged in Him. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, that's what we pray for you, that the Lord will save your soul. The Lord will visit you, reveal Himself unto you, and the Lord save your soul. Matthew chapter 3. Verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Listen, verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto or because of repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I'm not worthy to carry him, John says. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it so to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Take a look back at verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This morning, the title of the message that we want to preach and pray that the Lord will help and bless in it, Four Baptisms, Which Ones Will Apply to You? Four baptisms, which ones will apply to you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and we thank you for these people, Lord, that you've brought. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to meet together to worship you. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us now as we look into your word. Lord, we'd hear what you have to say unto us. And Lord, we'd hear you and believe you and trust you in it. Lord, we as your people that you've saved, Lord, we might worship you in spirit and in truth. For those that are here this morning and not saved, Father, we pray that you might touch them and that you might show them their great need. Lord, that you might show them about these baptisms, Father, and that they might see that they need Jesus Christ as Savior most of all. Lord, that you touch them and work in them. Lord, give them eyes to see, ears to hear. And Lord, they might come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Help us now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake alone. Amen. Four baptisms, which ones will apply to you? In verse number 11, let's read again. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, John says. There's one baptism. Water baptism of the believer. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. I'm not worthy to carry this one that's coming after me. I'm not worthy to care his shoes, John says. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. There's baptism number 2. And fire. There's baptism number three. But Brother Jim, you said there's four baptisms. Which ones will apply to you? Well, first, the first one, the fourth one that we want to take a look at is in Luke chapter 12. Take a look over here. Luke chapter 12. Four baptisms. We saw three of them there in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to go back to that and take a look at those. But first, we want to take a look at this fourth one. We're not going to take a look at them in the order or the way they read in the scriptures, but we're going to take a look at them in a different order. But we want to see these baptisms that are here. Here in Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse number 49. The Lord Jesus Christ says here, Luke 12, verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Exclamation point, if you'll notice there. In that verse, he says, how am I straitened till it be accomplished? The Lord is in this strait. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Lord says there in verse 50, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? The Lord Jesus Christ, he's got a baptism that he's going to be baptized with. And he says that word straitened, it's talking about he's about to bust. He is containing himself. He is controlling himself. He is ready to accomplish that baptism that he's talking about there. That fourth baptism, if you will, that's in our list. What is that baptism? What is that baptism? Turn over here to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1, the scripture says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in an empty way. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried. This fourth baptism that we're looking at first is the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ in death. In death. Jesus Christ had to die for his people. He suffered on the cross. He was humiliated and shamed in that suffering on the cross and those things that he endured. And when it all was finished, our Lord and Savior died. He died. God the Son came and became a man and knew nothing of death personally. But he came and was baptized with death for his people. The scripture goes on to say, or says here, we read it here, how that he died. Death was the baptism the Lord endured. Did he die for your sins? Did he die for you? Did he accomplish this baptism for you because you needed it? It says in Romans chapter 5, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. In Romans chapter 6, it goes on to say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For those that the Lord saves, he paid our death. He paid our death. He paid our separation from God. He paid it when he was baptized with such. It says in Matthew chapter 12, the Lord says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He died and was buried. The Lord, who knew nothing personally of death, was baptized with death, not for his sake, but for sinners like you and me. Did he do so for you? Was he baptized such for you. In John chapter 19, in the account of the Lord's crucifixion, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He died. He willingly gave his life, baptized in death. He says, "I've got a baptism to be baptized with. And I'm waiting for it to be accomplished. I'm waiting. I'm ready. I want to do it for my people." Back in Matthew chapter 3, this baptism of the Lord in death, did he do so for you? You know, without that baptism of death, but of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, you know, without that, you have no hope. You have no hope of forgiveness of sins. You have no hope of everlasting life. You have no hope but the goodness of this life and what it has to offer, but eternity is open-ended and dead for you. No promise. Death eternally. Death eternally. Because Jesus didn't die for you. Was Jesus baptized in death for you? You know what? You need to repent of your sins. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this baptism that we see of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you realize, and we need to realize and understand, that it is sanctioned by God? God has put his stamp of approval upon that death. It says in Isaiah 53, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." How did the Lord make his son's soul an offering for sin? He died. He died for sinners like you and me. Next, over here in Matthew chapter 3, in verse number 11, this second baptism that we see here in this scripture, Matthew 3, verse 11, we'll hang on to that one there that John talks about at the first, but we want to go down here and take a look at the second that's mentioned in this passage, the second one that we've listed. John says and gives testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Pentecostals and the Charismatics have taken this baptism of the Holy Ghost and made it something that it's not. What we want to do is take a look at the Scriptures and see indeed what it is. This baptism of the Holy Ghost is twofold, the Scripture bears out. The first part of this baptism is in the salvation of the soul. We naturally are dead in trespasses and sins. We have no spirit. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saves a sinner, he makes him alive. How is it that we're made alive? Well, listen to what the Scripture bears out. We've got many Scriptures that we want to cover, so listen. Please listen. "The Lord makes sinners alive when he saves them. He baptizes them with the Holy Spirit, if you will." In Colossians chapter 3, the Scripture says, "When Christ, who is our life," that's the only way we can have life, is through Christ. He is the only one that can give life to those that are dead like you and I are naturally. He is the only one that can give us life. And we'll see on how it is. Over in Colossians 2, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," he's made alive together with him, "having forgiven you all trespasses." He makes us alive. He makes us alive. He makes us alive. Baptism of the Holy Spirit of God and salvation. Turn to Romans chapter 8. In our series of messages on Sunday mornings about the fruit of the Spirit, we've covered this verse often. And yet again, it speaks to us even about this subject. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 8, the Scripture says, Romans 8, 8, So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, save Romans." That's who he's writing to, the church there at Rome, the saints there at Rome. "You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you," that's salvation. That's how the Lord saves. He sends his Spirit. He told Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit of God. Baptism of the Spirit by the Spirit of God. Salvation. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, "if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," goes on to say, "he is none of his." You're not God's. if you don't have the Spirit of God living within. Now, you can get mad, upset, stomp, snort, carry on, and throw a fit. But if you don't have the Spirit of God living within, you're not saved. You're none of His. And we implore you that you see your need and that you repent, that you trust in Jesus Christ, that you call out unto God that He would save your soul and give you life. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, listen, hang on to it, dwell in you, baptism, filling by the Holy Spirit of God, given life, salvation, being saved. Being saved, as we say, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God in salvation? Are you saved? Do you have Jesus as your Savior? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Scripture says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Don't you know that? He writes to the Corinthians, Paul does. The Spirit living within, filled up with the Spirit. Where once I was dead in my spirit, when the Lord saved me in 1987, He gave me His Spirit to live within, and I've been made alive. Amen. Praise the Lord that God baptizes sinners with His Spirit. Like I said, the Pentecostals and the evangelicals and some of those, they've taken that and made something out of it that it's not. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is the reason that this scripture is true. I want to read this to you here real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. This is the reason that the apostle, that the Lord has this written to we that are saved, to those that here in His church at Ephesus, and that comes to us also through the Word of God. Because the Spirit lives within, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with empty words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We've been made alive unto righteousness, unto holiness. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Telling that to you and me. For ye were sometimes darkness, but are now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Listen, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Why? Because God's living within. Because the Spirit of God's living within. A part of God is living within the child of God. He's been changed. He's been made alive. We are to be like Christ. Don't fiddle around with that junk of the world. Don't have friends of the world that pursue after wickedness and unrighteousness. It ought not to be. We may be around them. We may be their acquaintance or work with them, and we should well be a witness, a good witness to them. We're not to be rude to those that are wayward and wicked. But we're not to keep company with the sodomite. We're not to keep company with the one that is crooked in their business. We're not to keep company with the fornicator and the adulterer. We're not to keep company with such. We are to be a witness to them. But the Spirit of God lives within. That's the reason these things are said here. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, the Spirit that is within us. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He'll give thee life. He'll save your soul. We submit to the Lord as his children. We'll walk with him. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The Spirit of God living within and salvation. Baptism by the Holy Spirit of God in salvation. There's many other scriptures that we can read that are here about this, but we'll not take time to do so. In 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves, the scripture says, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that our own selves, how that Christ is in you? Baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, except ye be reprobates. In Galatians chapter 4, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Baptism by the Holy Spirit of God in salvation. You know, there's another aspect of this Holy Spirit baptism that the Scripture bears out. This second part of this baptism is the Lord's empowerment of his church by the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter to his kind of New Testament Baptist church. Baptism. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. One part is in the sinner that's saved, and the Spirit of God lives within. Another part is that baptism of the Holy Spirit because of the Comforter that he has promised to his church to be there in the Lord's stead. In John chapter 14, turn over here real quick. John 14. John chapter 14, we'll read these scriptures quickly. In John 14, verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ here with his church between the time that he has instituted the Lord's Supper and before his crucifixion, before his betrayal, he says here to his church, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16 of John 14, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I've been your comforter while I've been here, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. I'll pray that he'll send this comforter work of the Spirit unto my church to be here in my stead. Verse number 26, the scripture goes on to say, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He says that to the church, to his church. The work of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in his church. It's a blessing of God that's there in his church. He'll teach us. In John chapter 16, the Lord goes on to say in verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It's necessary. It must be for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Baptism of the Holy Ghost upon the Lord's church and the work of the Comforter. Your Lord goes on to say in John chapter 20, as he is there with his church, in John chapter 20, verse number 21, then said Jesus unto them again, John 20, 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. This is his church. And saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Holy Spirit baptism of the Lord in salvation. Holy Spirit baptism of the Lord in his church. That work of the Comforter there. Both sanctioned by God. Both sanctioned by God. How can we know that? Well, in Luke chapter 12, the Lord says here, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What the Lord did was always sanctioned by the Father. It was always approved by the Father. And he said, church, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That work of the Comforter. He says, it's time for me to give the Comforter that I promised unto you. Not the whole world. He wasn't out there in the street doing it, but it was there amongst his church, and we have that Comforter with us now here at Olmsted Baptist Church and any of the Lord's true new churches, true New Testament churches. In John 8, the Lord says, and he that sent me is with me, the Lord Jesus Christ says. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that pleased him. And so when he gave the Holy Spirit, gave that Holy Ghost empowerment to his church there, as we read in John chapter 20, it pleased the Father. It was sanctioned by the Father. Baptism. Baptism by the Lord. Then back in Matthew chapter 3, we see the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ in death. We see this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit baptism that the Lord does. It's twofold. He gives his Holy Spirit and fills with his Holy Spirit and those that he saves. And then that promise to those that are in his church and that work of the Holy Spirit, work of the Comforter that he baptizes with or covers with or engulfs with. Now, don't get tripped up about the baptism word. What it's meaning is being immersed in. Being immersed in. Being immersed, being covered up with, being changed. Listen, all my soul is saved. Amen? If you're saved, your soul has been saved. The body's not been saved yet. The mind has not been saved yet. But the soul is not partially saved, but it's entirely and completely saved. Engulfed. Immersed in it. And then we want to see and take a look. We saw about the Lord's baptism, that fourth one that we mentioned. We see about that Holy Ghost baptism, the second one mentioned. And now we want to take a look at the first one mentioned here in verse number 11 of Matthew 3. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto or because of repentance. Water, believers, baptism. Water, baptism. You know, in John chapter 1, take a look over here. John chapter 1, the scripture says in verse number 6, John 1, 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God sent John the Baptist. And he goes on and gives this testimony in verse number 33 of this same chapter, verse 32 of this same chapter. This is what John says about what he was sent to do. In John chapter 1, verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, but he that sent me to baptize with water. That's talking about the Father, talking about God Almighty. He's the one that sent John to baptize. The one that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He gave him another piece of information there. He says, John says, God sent me to baptize with water sinners that through repentance and faith trust in the coming Messiah that I preach. Water baptism. And then, a little bit later on, or as John gives account here, when the Lord came to him to be baptized of him, and we read it over there in Matthew chapter 3 when the Lord came to John, and John says, no, I need to be baptized of you. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, no, suffer it so to be now, because we need to fulfill all righteousness. It's the way it's ordained to be. And the Lord went to John, as we read over in Matthew 3, and Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John. And here in John chapter 3, in verse number 22, we see here that after the Lord Jesus Christ is baptized, he and those that are trooping with him there, his church that are with him, in verse 22 of John 3, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Next we see Jesus, and we see those that are with him baptizing. Verse 23, and John also was baptizing, and Enon near Salem. They're both baptizing at this time. And then we go on and read in verse 27, and there's those that came to John and said, hey, that fellow that you bore testimony about, he's over there baptizing. Doesn't that make you jealous? John answered in verse 27 and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He's with his church. I'm happy about that. He's doing that which the Lord ordained to do. They're baptizing as the Lord has ordained it to be. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John sent to baptize. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and is baptized of him. The sanction of the Father that speaks from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The sanction of the Holy Spirit of God in that form of a dove that abides there on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus and his church is off baptizing from there on. We go on and read in chapter 4 of John, right across down the page here, when therefore in verse number 1, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Water baptism of believers given by God, ordained by God for his church. For his church to baptize those that come in repentance and faith. You know it's sanctioned by God? Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Here's the sanction. Matthew 28, verse number 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, church, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's sanctioned by God. It's ordained by God. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And John says, amen. Amen. John says, we're baptized into the Lord's kind of church. Water baptism for the believer. Water baptism for the believer that is baptized, that believer that comes and says, I'm Lord, led of the Lord to be baptized. And by doing so, joins his kind of local New Testament Baptist church. In Corinthians chapter 10, the scripture says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. In Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. He's speaking to the Corinthians. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit, sanctioned by God. The baptism of water for believers. Then there's that fourth baptism that's mentioned, or the last one mentioned here in Matthew 3. Take a look over here. The baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ in death. The baptism of the Holy Spirit of God to those that he saves. Life. That other part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God by the Lord Jesus Christ and that work of the Comforter for his church. That water baptism that the church administers because it was ordained of the Lord Jesus Christ and given to his church to baptize believers and bring them in to the body, bring them into the assembly by such. And then listen, the fourth one that we want to take a look at is this third one that's mentioned here in Matthew 3, verse 11. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, or because of. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. We've seen that. He's the one that saves. He's the one that comforts his church. And fire. Baptism by fire. You know, the Pentecostals, the evangelicals, some They've taken this baptism by fire and they've made something out of it that it's not. Fire always in the scripture is that symbol and sign, that token of condemnation. And it says here that there is one, John says, that baptizes with fire. In Matthew chapter 10, a few pages over here, read what the Lord says here. This is the word, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. The Lord says, "And fear not them which kill the body, and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Baptism in fire. In Luke chapter 12, the same account, the Lord says, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Fear him. Deal with him. Reverence him. Understand who he is that is able to do such a thing. In Matthew chapter 25, we go on to read. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse number, here the Lord speaking about judgments in general and how he's going to be dealing with sinners. And in verse number 40 of Matthew chapter 25, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of these least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Verse 41, "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Baptism by fire. The Lord Jesus Christ will baptize by fire. You know what? Every person in this church house today is going to be baptized one way or the other. You realize that? Every person is going to be baptized. Every soul is going to be baptized one way or the other by these four baptisms. These four baptisms that we've pointed out here. In Revelation chapter 20, take a look over here. Revelation chapter 20. Baptism by fire, immersed in the fire, buried in the fire, with no escape and no relief, is this fire baptism administered by the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it going to be with you? Remember what we asked, four baptisms, which ones will apply to you? Here in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead," those that rejected Jesus as their Savior, those that rejected the gospel of the kingdom, those that rejected God and His Word, they're dead. See, they didn't get that baptism of the Spirit to make them alive. They didn't receive Christ as Savior. They remained dead in their trespasses and sins. Dead. 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 And they're heading for another kind of baptism. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works," because that's all they have is what they've done. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire," this is the second death, "and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And in chapter 21, verse 8 goes on to read, "But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Baptism by fire. Covered up, immersed, buried in the fire. Four baptisms, which ones will apply to you? The fourth baptism that we saw in the scripture is that the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized in death and rose again from the dead. Did he do so for you? The first part of that second baptism that we listed there, that's listed there in Matthew chapter 3, that we saw in this scripture, that the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation baptizes those he saves with his Spirit and makes them alive. He saves them. He births them again. Amen. Has he done this for you? Has the Lord saved you? The first baptism that we saw in the scripture was that the Lord ordained for his churches to baptize with water, in water, those that the Lord saves, and we baptize them into his kind of New Testament Baptist church. Has the Lord shown you that you need to follow him and his example of baptism by his church? The second part of that second baptism that we saw in the scripture there in Matthew 3 was that you can experience the Lord Jesus Christ's promise of the Comforter to teach, help, and lead his church by joining such. Has the Lord caused you to see that? Or for you, will it be that third baptism of fire? A baptism of fire forever. Four baptisms. Which ones will apply to you?